The word today is joy. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Our world is so full of misery and stress that everyone is looking for some joy and happiness. It's important to look for joy, but only in the right places. Here from our archives to help us focus on how to find real joy is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Joy.
There are so many problems and troubles in life that anyone that goes around laughing their head off all the time is going to be regarded as sort of an idiot, I'm afraid, because all the things that we're confronted with indicate to us there aren't too many things to be joyful about. And yet, from a Christian perspective, there is a joy. There is a joy that even passes understanding. As a matter of fact, it's so far beyond our understanding that the only way a person can have that kind of joy is if they know Jesus Christ. And not only know him, but know him in an intimate, personal way. So what I want to focus on with you today is the difference between happiness. You know, sometimes things work out so very well, we get a raise, or things are going so well within our family that we're just plain happy. And there is certainly some truth to the fact that non-Christians can have happiness as well. They have different things that happen in their lives that they certainly celebrate and are thankful for. But I'm talking about something that is transcending all that. It's a joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's what this program is all about. That's what The Word Today is constantly talking about, that there is a joy that can come, which will be there even in times of sorrow, even in times of problems and trouble. And that comes as a miracle, as a gift from God. So that's the joy that I want to focus on today. And that particular joy begins by understanding that you don't have to worry and be anxious about things. Most of the troubles and problems that we confront are because we're worried or troubled in some way. We think something's going to go wrong. We feel we're going to lose our job. We feel that we're not going to have enough money to retire. Or we feel, for one reason or another, our kids are turning out bad. And whatever it might be, we then begin to worry and begin to feel that somehow we're losing control of this. Well, one of the things that God promises us is that we don't need to worry. We don't need to fear. We don't need to have all kinds of concerns about the future because he's already there. God is timeless. God is eternal. He's already in the future. He already knows the future. And as a personal child that belongs to God, we are told by God that he will lead us and direct us in our lives in such a way that he will turn everything to our good. Now, that's positively fantastic, that he is going to take even those troubles and those concerns and those worries, and he's going to work them out in a way that will benefit us, in a way that will become a blessing to us. And this is God's promise to his people. So we can have a peace knowing that God is in charge. Isn't that fantastic? That's a peace. You know, the old German Lutheran church used to have a saying, this is the peace of God which passes all understanding. And indeed it does. You can't use your intellect to figure that out. It's beyond that. It's a gift that is beyond anything we can comprehend or understand. That God will meet all our needs, not just a few of them or not just once in a while in a hit-and-miss type of way, but he will meet all of our needs, and he will bless us with what we need each day, physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, financially. What other ways are there? In every way, he will meet every need. Now, I want you to take a look in your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible handy right now, just jot this down. And maybe you can even commit to memory. I always worry when I say jot this down. If you're driving a car or something, don't take your hands off the steering wheel, okay? You can remember this. It's Philippians 4. Philippians 4. I call it the joy chapter. It's such a fantastic chapter in which Paul is writing to the congregation at Philippi, and he says, now remember to rejoice in everything. And he repeats this several times. As a matter of fact, in verse 4 of this chapter, Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice always, always, regardless what the situation is, you can rejoice. If you remember that God is in charge, he is an almighty, powerful God. You know, so often at funerals, we will say to the bereaved, you know, let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Call on me. Don't forget to let us know. I'm sure it's polite and it's courteous and it's sociable. You know, it's wonderful to have friends that say, we're going to be thinking about you. We're going to be praying for you. And by the way, let us know if there's anything we can do for you or any way that we can help you. But you know, the truth is, those promises are somewhat shallow. As a matter of fact, when that bereaved person really needs us, we may not even be there. We may be dead ourselves. How long are we going to be around? You know, when you think of it that way, it's a little hollow. And therefore, I'm glad that we have a God who is personal. When God says, call on me in any time of need, when God says, come to me whenever you have a need, that's totally different because God is going to be there. And not only that, but he has the power to help. He has the power to assist in whatever the need is. He can change things in our lives. And so when God says, I will give you, as a matter of fact, let me kind of quote, loosely quote scripture there. He says, we have the peace of God, which is different than the world gives. This is an eternal peace. This is God's peace. It is a miracle. It's similar to what faith is, frankly. It's a spiritual gift. So whenever that problem comes and you begin to, let's say it's grief. We were just talking about funerals. Maybe you're grieving right now as you listen to this broadcast. Maybe you've lost a loved one. And there's nothing wrong with grieving. That doesn't prove that somehow you're a weak Christian. Christ himself grieved. You remember when Lazarus died? Why, you know, there's a human emotion involved here. We have a loss, and God totally understands that. One of the great comforts of the Christian is to know that Jesus was here on this earth. He went through the same temptations we go through. He went through the same emotional experiences that we go through, and he understands what grief is. Now, at some point, you know, the grief has to dissipate, and we have to get over it, so to speak, and move on. One of the ways I've found that's helpful to kind of introduce people to the need to move on is to point out that most of the time, maybe all the time, you know, you'd have to analyze this in your own life, but most of the time, grief is selfish. We certainly don't grieve over someone who's gone to heaven, someone who's gone to be with God, somebody who has won the victory, crossed the finish line, so to speak. We don't grieve for those folks. As a matter of fact, we praise God for their salvation. They have won the reward of their faith. And so there with God, we certainly wouldn't want to bring them back to this earth to suffer all the pains and sorrows and all the worries and difficulties that we have here on earth. And so we celebrate their victory. That's the beautiful thing of a Christian burial. But our loss is still very real. Our loss of companionship, our loss of a loved one, all the memories we have. And so there is such a thing as grieving, but at some point, we turn that over to the Lord also, and we say, okay, Lord, you know my loneliness, you know my sorrow, you know the problems I'm confronting here because of the loss of a loved one, and so I'm asking you, Lord, give me a peace and a joy that passes all understanding. I won't even be able to understand it, Lord, but I know the difference between fear and anger and sorrow and what your peace is. So give me that peace. And you will find that focused all the way through the fourth chapter of Philippians, all the way through. As a matter of fact, this don't worry, don't be anxious, that's verse 6. Be at peace with God, that's verse 7. You know, whenever someone's confronting a new job or a new task, or maybe they're just getting married, a new part of their life, take a look at verse 13. A powerful statement. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Anyone that believes Christ is their personal God and lives with them and within them, that person has God's promise that as God is with you, you have his promise that you can do anything that is pleasing to him and within his will. I have a little card, a little plastic card that reminds me of that every day when I get into my car. Right there by the visor on the driver's side is a little card. Help me to remember Jesus, that I can do anything today. As a matter of fact, the little card says, we together, with you being with me, God, we can do anything today that is according to your will, that you want accomplished. Now, one of the things that I'd like to suggest as far as looking at the future is concerned is that you take a look at the book of Psalms. David was a very human guy. He had his ups and downs. As a matter of fact, once in a while in the Psalms, he gets very pessimistic and almost moody to the point where he's in depression. In fact, some of the Psalms that start out that way will end up turning to praise and thanksgiving once he remembers, but wait a minute, God, you're still in charge. You're the one that is with me. You're going to take care of me. And so I'd like to suggest that on a daily basis, you take a look at Psalms and you will see all these different moods, especially if you're discouraged. Take a look at Psalms and it'll lead you to realize you can rejoice. You can rejoice even when things don't look so good. Because God is with you. He's taken your sins away. You don't even have the guilt anymore. He's taken that away. So I say, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.